So we are in our Stranger Things series. And just to recap, in week one, we talked about how the strangest thing to happen in Scripture was Jesus. The strangest thing to happen to humanity was Jesus. And not because he's strange, because we're strange. And we weren't ready for what he needed to be for us to change our scary story into a rescue story, to help realign, give us the opportunity to realign ourselves back with him, and so that we realize that we were the strange ones. And then in week two, we talked about a good story, how Stranger Things is an amazing story, has a great narrative. Well, to have a great narrative carried out, you got to have the right people in the right roles. And we talked about how, is there people that you have in your life, are they in the right roles in your life? And we talked about Jesus and his areas of influence, his rings of influence. And how that works is, when the center is the most influential, and that first circle is always God. And then it comes out, you know, in your spouse and your closest friends. And as the rings get bigger and bigger, there's more room for more people. But the people on the outer rings don't influence you as much as people in the inner rings. And we talked about who having the right people in those roles for your narrative, your story that's unfolding to come out right. But we also talked about, are you the right role in other people's lives? Are you being the right person for people and what they need in their lives? And we talked about it at Villages, and it was really good. It was tough questions, a little bit of crickets at moments, but it's a great question to ask people. And that was my challenge last week, to go and ask people, say, hey, what role do you think that you play in my life, and what role do you think that I play in your life? That's the fastest way, the quickest way to start aligning your influence circles. And once you do that, your life starts to line up and realign to what Jesus had called us to be. It all comes down to who and what, at what level do people influence your story. So our story is important. It's important because we've got to have the right people in the right roles. And so those roles, those costumes, those characters that we fulfill in life, those things that we want to be, do we sometimes wear those costumes too long? Or are we not wearing the right ones? Are we continually putting on not the right costumes in our life? When I say costumes, I mean your job, your father or a mother, your spouse. These are roles that we fulfill in our life. And so are we fulfilling the right roles? Are we doing too much or not enough? But Jesus has come to show us our true role, to cast our true role. So in the Stranger Things series, the antithesis, the negative in the Stranger Things series is a place called the Upside Down. Literally, it is the opposite of where they are, opposite of where they live. It's a dark place that sucks life. There's a faceless evil monster that comes through walls and tries to pull you in to this world. And once he gets you into this world, when you're upside down, you don't know your own identity anymore. It feeds off of you. It takes away your identity to feed its identity. And the more a character spins in the upside down, they have the risk of losing a piece of themselves or being lost forever. And so identity in that moment becomes everything. When you begin to lose your identity, like the characters in this story, that becomes everything to you. You become consumed with it. You want to fight for it. You want to know that you're continuing on, that you're not being lost. And so they find themselves in the story trying to do everything they can to escape it. And so they embark on a quest to find truth, to find the truth of what it is, so they can identify it. And in that, they end up being able to rescue their identities and save their lives and the lives of others. If we're not careful, if they're not careful, they could end up with an upside-down identity. Their identity could be rewritten for them. The evil could suck them away, take them away. So when Jesus had to do some strange things to help rescue us, his identity was in question. Jesus himself, his identity was in question. And the truth wasn't what they expected. So Christ's identity was hard for them to accept. And so the moment in Scripture that we're talking about is the moment when he meets Pilate. And it's he's done his ministry. It's all culminated. He's had the right people in the right roles. Jesus has been the right person in the right role. And so it's culminated to this moment where he meets Pilate, ruler of the land. And the Jews have brought him there, and they're like, we don't like this guy. He's strange to us. He claims to be a god. We don't like him. Do something with him, Pilate, because they didn't know what to do with him. And so Pilate, he goes to this dialogue with him, and he's questioning him, and he's wanting to know, what is your identity? Why have they brought to me? And what specifically, in one of the sentences, it says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, do you say this on your own accord, or did others say that about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? He's confused. He's like, what strange thing have you done to put you in this spot that your own people would bring you to me and deny you? In Scripture, we find out how not to be trapped in an upside-down identity because of what Jesus shows us in this moment in Scripture, in this capture, in this scene, as he fulfills his role. And so there's two things I'm going to talk to you about today, all right? And then you have your pen and paper. So we're going to write something down. The first thing I want you to write down is the old costume doesn't fit anymore, okay? The old costume doesn't fit anymore. When you were growing up, whether you celebrated Halloween or not, you had costumes, right? You had whatever action, cartoon or whatever it might be. For me, it was like Power Rangers or Batman or, you know, all that stuff. And you go and you go to Toys R Us or Walmart and you find these costumes, these things you can put on. And in that moment, you get to be your superhero. You get to enjoy, and you get to act like you're them and jump off the roof of the house and almost break your leg, you know, and you get to do all of that, right? And you have that season of your life, and then you get on some other toys, and you find some other stuff, and like a year goes by, and you're digging through, and you're like, oh man, I'm bored. Let me dig through my toy chest, go through my closet, find something to do, and you find that old costume again. And you're like, oh yes, it's on. I'm jumping off the chimney this time, all right? You know, and you go and you put it on, and you put your arm through, and it goes like this. And you realize, wait a minute, I remember this being longer. Why is it not fully covering my arm? And you look down, and it's like up to here. You begin to realize the costume doesn't fit anymore. You don't get to fulfill that character, that role anymore, because you've changed. You've grown a little. You've grown up. Something is different. And even so, when the uniforms and the costumes, like if you're an athlete, you'd have like your baseball uniform or your football uniform. Just wait a year. Go try to put it back on. It ain't going to work. Okay? It's not happening because you've changed. And that's okay. And we get bummed about it sometimes, and we end up outgrowing stuff. And as adults, we outgrow jobs. We outgrow positions. You might outgrow a home if you're plentiful and your family's growing. You might have to outgrow your home, get a bigger home. You outgrow an area of life. You outgrow an age group. This especially happens from like 20 to 25, and then 25 to 30. You outgrow an age group. You're like, I just can't even do that life anymore. You're like, we're going to go out right now at 10? That's the beginning of the night? That's the end of the night for me. No, it's totally cool. No, I'm down. You know, you start saying things that you thought were still cool and they're not. And you just further show that you're not. So, and it's not we want to get bummed about that stuff because there's that old costume that we enjoyed. But it's not a bummer. It's not a bad thing. That means that you get to fulfill bigger roles. You get to put on a bigger costume. You get to have bigger responsibilities. You can understand, you can have more. In Scripture, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this: therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old passed away; behold, the new has come. See, Paul recognized the Corinthians were struggling with something, right? He'd heard word of what's going on there. He's like, okay, I understand this might be difficult, so let me try to explain this. He's wanting them to help them understand that they have an upside-down identity problem. What he's saying in this very loaded, this is one of the most loaded sentences that Paul has said in his ministry. I'll read it again to you. Therefore, if anyone in Christ is a new creation, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Let's break this down. First, in Christ. This is a brief yet most profound statement of inexhaustible significance of the believer's redemption. And what this means, just in Christ, what this means is a believer's security in Christ because his body bore the weight of God's judgment. And Christ also meant that believers' acceptance in him, God alone, is well pleased. Because of Jesus, God's well pleased with us. And believers' future assurance in his resurrection to eternal life and the sole grantor of the believer's inheritance to heaven, that the eternal one is the one that is granting our ability to enter and have our inheritance of heaven. And then finally, the believer's participation in the divine nature of Christ and his everlasting word. In Christ, we find salvation. In Christ, we find redemption. In Christ, we find our inheritance. And in Christ, we get to be a part of his divine nature. You get to be part of something bigger. So that's the in Christ part. Now, new creation. New creation. It's not just a new opportunity. In this, what he's saying, it's not just a reset and then you're back at the same starting point again. No, no. This is a regeneration, a new birth. You are a new level of excellence. You die weak and are born with a new strength backed by the creator of the universe. And the old has passed away. That's the next thing we're talking about. The old has passed away. See, regeneration brings change. The old value systems, the old perspectives, the old priorities, the old beliefs, the old loves, old plans, they're all gone. Because you have reset the mindset, the things that you had before that weighed on you, they're all gone. Evil, sin, and selfishness are still present. They're still there. They're still on the earth, but it's all seen from a new perspective. The things that you struggled with before, they're still struggles, but you see them in a new lens. You see them in a new perspective. And that new perspective has the power to kill the control something has over you. And the new has come. Finally, at the very end, the new has come. In Greek grammar, this indicates that it's not just an event. The new has come, meaning it's continual. It's coming. It's continually coming. There is now a continual condition of spiritual perception. The reality of believers' connection becomes greater and stronger over time. A believer now lives for eternity and not for temporal things. Paul has expertly crafted this short sentence to encompass a massive miracle of life. Of what Jesus did for us in our identity. An amazing thing. This is where believers can get real frustrated. When they become a believer, when someone is a fresh believer or they've been a believer for a long time, this is where they can get frustrated. Because after they become saved, become rejuvenated, they've known Christ and they're Christ followers now, they try to put those old costumes back on. They try to fulfill those old roles that they had. But see, they have been changed. You have been changed innately in your nature of your very bottom deep soul. You have been changed. Now Christ is inside of you. So when you go to put on that old way of life, that old sin life, when you try to put your arm into it, it gets real short. And you're like, man, this doesn't fit anymore. But for some reason, you still want to try to keep going with it. And then you go out and you kind of look like a fool. You feel like a fool because you're wearing something that doesn't fit you any longer because you have a new identity. You have a new way of life. You don't look at money the same anymore. You don't look at relationships the same anymore. You don't look at time the same anymore. You don't look at power. You don't look at jobs, possessions. You don't look at any of those things the same anymore. Because of your new perspective, your continual changing of spiritual perception, you don't see those things the same anymore. So people that are not believers, that have not had this moment with Christ to be rejuvenated, to have a rebirth, they're going to be confused at the way you deal with money. You give some of it away? What? Nothing in return? You know, I mean, what? You would just love your neighbor for no reason, for nothing in return? You love your enemies? You pray for them? They're going to be confused, and it's all because your innate nature has changed. So when it comes to trying to put the old costumes back on, stop it, okay? Stop trying to force it and make it work. You're just going to end up frustrating yourself. You're going to continue to have this inner battle that's fighting against itself. And worst case scenario, what would happen is that because it doesn't fit anymore, and you keep on, I want to keep being my selfish self. I want to keep being my old self. It ends up making you frustrated to the point where you start blaming God for the problems in your life. You start blaming Jesus because it's not working. Now, he's made it work. You're just fighting against it. You're fighting because you keep trying to put the old costumes back on. And that's how you end up with an upside-down identity as a Christ follower. That's why people who know that you're a Christ follower might look at you confused because of the things that you follow and the things that you might do, because you're continuing in an old life that's no longer yours anymore. You've been reborn in an identity that will become diluted and devalued. If you keep trying, your identity will become diluted and devalued, your identity in Christ. So, this doesn't mean that we have to stop trying to fill roles, okay? Now, when I'm telling you this, I'm like, oh, yes, you still have to be a father. Yes, you still have to be a mother. You still have to go to your job. You still, you know, don't just quit it all. There is a scenario here. There's a makeup of it. And this is the second thing I want to talk to you about today. The second thing is a good costume starts with a good base. A good costume starts with a good base. So growing up, I played sports. If you've been around this church any longer, you would know that I've played sports. I've said it before. In sports, it didn't mean so much to me because of, you know, the fame or whatever. I loved it because it was something that I could put my hands to, and it's something that I could excel at. Thank God my father had enough wisdom to not let me consume myself as that's my identity. Because there's days, and especially in baseball, because below average is good, there's days when you fail a lot and you assume that as your identity. You begin to identify yourself as a failure and not what Christ has called you to be. See, that's just a costume. That uniform that I put on is just a costume. I was just playing out a role that was a fun role, and it's not a bad thing to do. It's a great thing to do. But that role doesn't come my identity. My first identity was in Christ. The success of the uniform did not define me. In John 18, 37 through 38, Pilate said to him, "So you're a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is the truth?" See, Pilate tried to put a costume on Jesus. Pilate couldn't even fathom what Jesus was, and Jesus knew that. And so he said, "So you're a king?" And when Pilate said that to him, he threw a crown on him of earthly possession and goes, "Wait a minute, so you rule these people, you have land?" And he's like, let me help you understand this. You're not getting this. You say that I'm a king, but for this purpose, I put on this world. So Jesus accepted his costume to help Pilate understand where he's going with this, helping understand his identity. And he took a piece of it. And what he's explaining to him, he says, "Yes, I'm a king. If you need to put that on me, yes, I'm a king. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more grand than that. So much that you can't understand. It's so much that it is the truth. And Pilate's like, wait a minute, the truth? I thought I knew what the truth was. Then what's the truth? He sparked his interest of wanting to know. And Jesus is saying, technically, yes, but my kingship goes beyond land and power and resources. Jesus is based in truth, and because of the truth, there is a power to submitting to his kingship. And so what he's telling Pilate, he says, yes, I'm a king, and if you want to see me as a king, that's fine. But understand, submitting to my kingship will give you a higher understanding, will give you a truth beyond something that you've ever known on this world. Really powerful moment, loaded portion of scripture. So in that moment, he let him identify him as a king. He let him put that costume to fulfill an ultimate purpose of his identity. And this purpose is also carried out into the identity of every Christ follower. This moment of what he said, the truth of what he pointed out, is carried out into every Christ follower. In Ephesians 1:1-2, it says, this is going to be kind of funny, it's going to sound weird. So we're going to begin at the beginning. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Why would I begin at the beginning of his letter? Why would I even talk about that right now? Because we read that, we'll look at scripture and we'll read that, and like, oh, that's so sweet. He's saying, oh, to and from, you know, that's awesome, just so you know whose identity is. But there's such a larger meaning to this. See, in this time, there wasn't emails. There wasn't texts. He had typically one shot to get this right. One opportunity to send this letter and for it to get there, to get it right. And what he is filling out in this letter means a lot. It means life and death for the Christ followers in Corinth. So this letter he's writing, every word is purposeful. Every word means something. And so what Paul is saying, you know, in our layman's terms, what Paul is saying is, yes, you know me as Paul. That's my costume. That's my identity. That's what you know me as. But my true identity is in Christ, which supersedes who I am. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He's telling him that, yeah, listen to me. I've been with Jesus, but listen to me more because of Jesus, because I live in Jesus. Jesus is my beginning, and he is my end. Everything to follow in the rest of this scripture, everything to follow in the rest of this letter is because of Jesus. And I am just a vessel for this opportunity. Then this scripture, then this letter means so much more because of that. It's the new Paul, and it's in Christ inside of him that has defined his values, his priorities, what he does with money, how he works his job, in the relationships that he has with people on earth. All that to say, for Christ followers, your name didn't change. When I got saved, my name didn't change from Bob to Bill. You know, it was Bill. It's always been Bill. But my identity has changed. I'm a new Bill. I have a new awakening, a new rebirth, a rejuvenation. And when I became saved, I didn't see things the same way anymore. I didn't see money the same. I didn't see people the same. I didn't see relationships the same. My temptations are still there. I still get tempted all the time to be selfish, to be sinful. Things still go wrong. Yes, even though I'm a pastor and I'm closer to God, whatever, I don't know. even though that happens, I still get flat tires, okay? People still cut me off. I still stub my toe. My kids still are unruly at times, more times than not. It happens. But what the beauty of it is, because I'm not just Bill anymore, now I'm Bill in Christ Jesus, I have a new perspective of all those things. I don't see them as just bad stuff. I see them as opportunities to prove my love in Christ and what Christ has done inside of me. All this opportunity, all this is, these costumes that we put on are opportunities to let Christ shine through our costumes. And as those costumes get too small for us, Christ provides new costumes, provides new ways of showing his love, new ways, new opportunities. The difference is you view them differently because your identity now carries purpose. And that purpose is defined in the truth of what Jesus accomplished 2,000 years ago and what he stated in this conversation with Pilate. His kingdom is not of this world. Your kingdom is not of this world. Stop trying to wear the same costumes. There's many roles and costumes we put on. And sometimes either we put the wrong one on or we wear one too long. And a part of our wisdom as we get from Christ is trying to discern which costumes we need to take off, which roles we need to give up on, how do they need to be modified, how do they need to be changed. We forget about our first identity as believers if we try to wear them too long. And if you do that continually, you will end up as a Christ follower with an upside-down identity. You will end up with an identity that the evil one, the faceless monster that wants to suck you away from what's upright and wants to turn you upside down. And when he does that, he feeds off of you. And he tries to change who you are to better serve his kingdom and his glory. That's the upside down. If we let it, it'll happen. And everything else in our life is just a costume and a role. But our identity in Christ, our purpose, shines through all those things. This truth, its perspective, will relieve us of the frustration and the inner battle. Your identity in Christ will define the roles and costumes we put on. So, we will be fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters who love our family just as Christ loves us. That's taking love in your family to a whole new level. We perform our job titles in excellence, truth, and integrity just as Christ would have us. We will treat our relationship statuses with love and respect just as Christ has taught us to treat others. Our use of money, resources, and power will exemplify the identity of the one who provides all those things to us. We will see through the costumes of others. That's the beauty of this inner identity, this level up, is that we get to see through the costumes in others and not see them as just as costumes, but to see them in the value, in the same value that our singular Creator has in them. We see past their job titles. We see past what they're struggling with. We see past the negativity in their life. We see past the hate that they throw your way, the shade that they throw your way. We see past that. And we see that deep under there is an awakening that can happen. Deep under there, there's a purpose that's waiting to be fulfilled. And when we do that, we get to see people through the lens of Jesus. So yes, you are who you are. Fill in the blank name. Put your name out. You are who you are. We're not changing your name today. But you're not an empty costume anymore. If you are a Christ follower, you are no longer an empty costume. You're not just this role on earth that's bouncing around, doing what it's supposed to do to keep others' lives going, to keep the narrative going. No, you serve a purpose. You serve a destiny. You serve an opportunity to see Christ's divine nature come alive in your life and with others. You are filled with the truth and purpose of the King of Kings, humanity's Savior, Jesus Christ. And no matter the stage, time, or place you might find yourself, you will always carry the values and purpose of Jesus. That's how you combat an upside-down identity. And so for some of you today, you're struggling with this right now. You're struggling to battle an upside-down identity. You're going to work and you're like, why do I even do this? Why am I even here? I hate this place. You go home and you're fighting with your spouses, fighting with your siblings of like, why is this even happening? Why is this even working? I don't know why things are the way they are. I'm frustrated with it. There's roles, characters that you're fulfilling in your life. Those roles will change, but you're frustrated with them. And that's because you're letting those roles overshadow the identity of your true purpose. But this is my action step for you guys. This is what I want you to do. This week, and I'm serious, do this. This will be life-changing for you. Go to a private place, go to a quiet place, hide in the closet if you have to, if you have kids. Lock the door, whatever you have to do. Go to a quiet place where you're alone. It's just you and your thoughts and a pen and a paper. And I want you to take the roles of your life and I want you to write them down. Number one, father. Number two, for me, this would be me. Number one, father. Number two, pastor. You know, number three, you know, husband. You know, all the list out all of these roles. That's not in chronological order. Sorry. Not in chronological order. All right. This is random order here. Put those roles out there, okay? List them out, your job title. If you're a brother or a sibling, list that out. If you have friends, I hope you have friends, put friend. List all those things out. And the next thing I want you to do is define those roles in your life. Why do you do them? Why do you do those roles? Each and every one of them. I'm serious. Go home and do this. It will change your life. Then after you fill all of those out, I mean, just off the top of your head, do it fast. Time yourself if you have to so you don't think about it too much. But just write them out. Why do I do what I do? And then I want you to change your lens. I want you to see that in your identity in Christ, all these things I just listed out, you're in Christ's identity. Begin with that. Begin with Jesus. See it through Jesus' lens, those costumes. And then I want you to read them again. I want you to make changes if necessary so that you are fulfilling those roles as an identity in Christ and not just a random costume. And then do it. Not just write it out, not only change it, but see it through the lens, but do it. Actually perform the roles in the identity of Jesus and then see your life change. I guarantee it will. Because when you see your job through the lens of Jesus, you're not there just to make money. You're there to impact lives. You're there to love people. You're there to earn resources to better the kingdom of God, to love your family. If you're a husband and you see it through the lens of Jesus, then it's not just, hey, I just have this partnership, this person I got to deal with when I get home. It turns into Christ has called me to serve my wife as Christ has served the church. And that is a loaded statement because Christ did everything for the church. He even died for the church. It goes on and on. If you're a parent, love your kids in an identity of Christ. See them through the lens of Jesus rather than these pain in the butts that you got to deal with every day. It will change your perspective. It will not only change your life, it'll realign you with the way that Christ has designed you to be as a Christ follower. It'll change your life and it will change the lives of the people around you. I guarantee it. So that's your action step today. Make a list, define it, look at it through the eyes of Jesus, change it as necessary, and then do it. All right, we'll pray and we'll go on. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. Thank you for giving the opportunity of change. Lord, before you, we were just struggling as humanity, toiling, fighting with identity, fighting with self-confidence and knowing that we are saved and knowing that we're loved by our Creator. And then you came along. You did something very strange and you realigned us. You gave us the chance to identify ourselves in you. And Lord, as we put the right people in the right roles and then we fulfill the right role, help us not to get consumed with the costumes that we put on, to not be consumed with the roles that we try, and not let it overshadow the values and the purpose of being first, having our first identity, and that's in you, Jesus. Thank you for changing us, rejuvenating us, and continually giving us new spiritual awakening, new spiritual insight and perspective into the way that we should live for you. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the honor, and bless us as we go, and thank you for 2 great years of ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.